Okay, it's good. It's good. All right, so we're on page 135 of let me go to get it right here. Okay, Sketches from the Life of Paul. I always forget the name of the book. I don't know why. But if it was numbers, I'd remember that. I don't know. I'm just goofy with the numbers. I still know my phone numbers when I was a kid. The phone number Fran had when we were dating. It's just, and well, a lot of other numbers too, addresses. But praise the Lord for that, that I can remember stuff like that. Because it does come in handy, I got to tell you. You know, people write down phone numbers, it just goes bam into my brain. And so we're going to be starting off. Yeah, we're going to be starting off here, if you can see on the stream. As Paul was brought in direct contact with the idolatrous inhabitants of Ephesus. That's page 135 again on WTPR. And on the stream, you're looking at it on screen. So, but praise the Lord, streams are still going good. We still have the backup stream if we need it. Haven't used it yet, but it's still out there, but it's only 40 to 45 deep. So that's about it for that. But this one here, thousands of people can get in this one. But will that ever happen? I hope. Oh, and pray about this. I'm thinking of doing a series of videos, just like one prophetic event at a time. Like 3 or 4 minutes about this prophetic event of the past, and then work all the way up until what's happening now. And so I'm thinking of doing a bunch of videos like that. And I'm wondering if I'll still be online after that. But it don't matter. We got John 14:29.org. You know, because of the way they shadow ban us, I'm getting more hits on my server than I am on YouTube. And that's why I moved it. Because it taken all our bandwidth. We couldn't do church. All right, so, as Paul was brought in direct contact with the idolatrous inhabitants of Ephesus, the power of God was strikingly displayed through him. The apostles were not always able to work miracles at will. Now, let me stop here for a minute. This here, I remember many, many years ago, I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is awesome. You know, I was reading Isaiah, or I was reading Daniel, or you know, Jeremiah. There, you know, those three. I mean, Jeremiah and Daniel, they're my favorites. Daniel used to be my main favorite, but then Jeremiah kind of like, you know, jumped ahead because of the similarities of today. Daniel literally talked about today with, you know, the visions and whatnot. But I came across this in my mindset. Oh man, I was still a Sunday keeper at the time too. And what I'm talking about is, you read Jeremiah, you read Daniel, read Isaiah, you read any of the patriarchs and prophets, minor or major prophets, it doesn't matter. You read these things, right? And now Jesus is a completely different, you know, whole scenario, because you'll understand what I'm saying here in a minute. When you read, let's just say Daniel, and or even Elijah, some of the miracles that he was allowed to perform that the Lord used him for, or even Moses, because you got to keep in mind that was 40 years. A lot of people forget about this. I remember, because when I was reading one of the patriarchs, or no, one of the prophetic books, it was like, I don't know, a year or two into the into my Christian walk. I was still a Sunday keeper at the time, and I was talking to the Lord about this. I said, man, this is amazing. Look at all these miracles that these guys did. Oh, I says, man, it's like... And I remember a couple of things that I witnessed, and then, of course, Fran witnessed. We had some amazing things happen when we first find... A lot of babes in Christ will see that, you know? I remember years ago when I was... Like when Tim was coming into the truth, a friend of mine that he's here today as well. Boy, the Lord was showing his hand to him all over the place. And that just reminds me of what I went through when I was young. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And Fran, of course, knows what I'm talking about. But you think, like, you know, well, that was last year, though, you know? Or that was like, oh, man, I haven't had a flying dream, let's say, in 2 months. You know, like I call them my dry spells, you know, kind of like on the cleft of the rock, you know, Moses up there waiting on the Lord 40 days, not hearing a peep. Yeah, you're talking dry spell, right? So I'm thinking, okay, we get our dry spells, but I'm thinking, Lord, man, I haven't seen, you know, a major thing here or there. I haven't heard your literal voice in who knows how long. And then he more or less just put it in my memory that, you know, this book of Daniel or Jeremiah or whatever I was reading, you know, this, well, Jeremiah, you can't really use that as an example because that happened within a couple, 3 year period and some of the things that went down. But, with some of the patriarch or some of the prophetic books, the Lord is revealing, says, you know, this didn't just happen over a course of 2 or 3 weeks. This was a lifetime of events, all compiled into one small book. And then it made me realize. But because like what she says here, the apostles were not always able to work miracles at will. You think, you know, like the shadow of Peter, you know, and the people getting healed. And then, or some of the other, you know, miracles that they performed, especially after Christ ascended and things started happening. But it wasn't every single solitary day. In Peter's time, yeah, there was a couple of times that it went on for, I would imagine, a couple, 3 days in certain cities. But yeah, a lot of people forget this, that, well, first of all, our Lord is not an order taker. You know, a lot of people get to that, whoa, they get in that rut. You sit there and go, Father God, why don't you answer my prayer? You know, I'm getting a little upset here. I mean, that reminds me of this atheist I saw on the street one day. He says, I don't want nothing to do with your God. And I go, why? He says, well, you know, I had a loved one that was dying, and I prayed for a solid 45 straight minutes with tears and everything, and that person died anyway. And I says, wow, 45 minutes. Try 15 years. Try 20 years. Try 38 years, like the man at the Pool of Bethesda. And but I think he was the same one that says, well, still, you know, you got this situation with hellfire. I don't want to be living for all eternity in hellfire, screaming at the top of my lungs, so I don't believe in your God. Oh, so that's going to stop hellfire? That's how silly these people, you know, like Satan, he gets them to believe some of the silliest things. If you don't believe in God, you won't go to hell. Because if you don't believe in him, it just doesn't work. Look, this isn't voodoo. It's just like with the voodoo doctors. Some people get all freaked out and scared. Look, if you don't believe in it, Satan has no foothold. It won't work with you. It's just like after I became a Christian. All those manifestations, as far as I'm going to say, disappeared. No more came back ever again. Because now I knew the truth about the state of the dead or this or that or whatever. And so it's not, again, he's not an order taker. I got to turn this fan up. Hold on. I think that'll speed it up. But you might hear it in the mic in a minute. But yeah, he's not an order taker. And so she says, you know, the apostles were not always able to work miracles at will. The Lord granted his servants this special power as the progress of his cause, or the honor of his name required. And so if he can be glorified, see, that's a lot of times when we're praying, we're saying, Father, we're saying to the Father, if it will glorify you, you know, thy will be done kind of a thing, you know, like when you're praying for somebody that's in a very, very bad way, you know, and we have seen people get off deathbeds. We have seen in our lifetime many amazing miracles. And but it's not every week is what I'm getting at. That's actually what she's getting at here too. And some of you too. I mean, and if you're new to our number, stop by every first Sabbath of the month and just listen. You don't even have to come into the tech shack, go into WTPR, or go and look at the list of all the testimony services that we had over the years. We always have them on the first Sabbath of the month. The last Sabbath of the month is Q&A. That's what we're going to be doing tomorrow. And so the Lord's hand has been very apparent in this church. But again, it's you don't hear the same person every Sabbath saying, the Lord did something amazing. Oh, sometimes you do. It depends. But it's still a 30-day period, like in 2 weeks. Well, no, a week, actually, because next Sabbath is testimony. You're going to hear things that have happened over the last 30 days, unless, of course, the person is new or they forgot about something that happened to them 10 years ago and they want to share it. And so I just, see, that's why I keep a praise list. And I've always done that ever since, I think the first time I ever got on the pulpit is when I started keeping a praise list. And that was in the 90s. And now I got them off to the side here wrapped in plastic because, like an idiot, I had them in the basement. They got mold on them, so I got to figure out a way to clean them up. But the last, I'd say, 20 years, it's all in my computer much quicker. Because I don't like the handwriting thing. I write too fast because I'm always in a hurry. Too much to do. So anyway, she goes on to say that like Moses and Aaron at the court of Pharaoh, the apostle had now... What? Okay, so sometimes the grammar goes a little bit off kilter here, I think, you know, because it just, I know it's like almost old English, the way Sister White talked in those days, but anyway, she says, like Moses and Aaron at the court of Pharaoh, the apostle had now to maintain the truth against the lying wonders of the magicians, hence the miracles he wrought, were of different character from those he had heretofore performed. And see, this is one of the, I wonder if he's going to be talking about Magus, you know, Simon Magus, who was the first pope, by the way, because Simon Magus sought out to become a praetor, or a praetor, you know, like in the pagans, like the highest position in the pagan church, like it's a pontifical position, kind of like Rome, well, Rome, they're pagans, and they would be called praetors, or praetors, or praetor, you know, and so Jesus gave Peter the name Simon. And boy, did the devil, you know, work on that one. So he manipulated the whole situation to, you know, that's why they call, you know, the Vatican calls the Pope Simon Peter, you know, the successor to Peter. But there is actually a statue of Simon Magus in the Vatican. He's a little dinky guy. It's a small statue. James Arabito had a couple of pics on him in his illustrated version of The Great Controversy. I took just about all those pictures out of that book. I literally took that, and it's a hardcover, beautiful book, but I had to take a razor to it because back in the day, we didn't have the cameras to where you can just focus in on just the page and then it would come out. It would skew it and everything, you know, where you wouldn't have to cram it underneath a Xerox machine. But I had to tear that book apart, and I made that flash animation. Years, now it won't work because Flash is dead, but I turned it into an Antichrist video too. Anyway, all the pictures that James Arabito took around the Vatican, you wouldn't believe some of the pictures that he got. Even Pope Joan. That's why I said Joan. One of these popes was a woman. And that's why from that day forward they used to put a hole, like you're sitting on a toilet on a throne before you're actually permanently ordained as pope, so that they can check. They just stick their hand underneath the seat, and it's disgusting. But that's the way they are. They, you know, she got found out when all of a sudden she gave birth in some kind of a procession, from what I understand. And so they killed her in front of everybody. Yeah, that's loving. So going on, as the hem of Christ's garment had communicated healing power to her who sought relief by the touch of faith, you know, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, that's what she's talking about there. So on this occasion, garments were made the means of cure to all that believed. Diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Yet, these miracles gave no encouragement to blind superstition. When Jesus felt the touch of the suffering woman, he exclaimed, "Virtue is gone out of me." So the scripture declares that the Lord wrought miracles by the hand of Paul, and that the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and not the name of Paul. And hence the reason you go, I think it's in, he goes into detail about this, chapter 3, 4, and 5 of Romans, because, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. In other words, the devil's trying to split everything up like the denominationalism thing, and the Lord gave me some new light on it this morning. Well, man, I got to tell you, that's another thing, too. Praise his name. Every morning, every time I read the word, something new. And so my notes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I praise his name for that. But yeah, it was just, you could see it. They were trying to cause problems between the devil was trying to cause problems between the people in the church because some of them were, you know, wanting to follow and uplift or puff up Paul, whereas the others wanted Apollos, of course, you know. And so and he says, it's not about us. It's about Christ, you know. But see, that's today's world, though. You get guys out there like Joel Osteen or Benny Hinn or even the Pope. You know, it's all, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's all it's about. It's all about self. So she goes on to say, the manifestations of supernatural power with which accompanied the apostles' work were... Oh, yeah, that's not good. Can you see that? Oh, my. What on earth is going on here? Is this one of the books we scanned? Because, boy, is that messed up. You see that? Fran, we got sketches from the life, right? In the house here somewhere? Because I think we used our cameras to get this book in here on PDF, and it looks like some pages were missed in the translation. Fran? Oh, you're looking? All right, let me just see. I think we can also go... Oh, man, I gotta turn this fan down. It's blowing my hair in my eyes, and that is so annoying. Sorry about that for those of you listening in right now. Sketches. I can't remember how big of a book it is. I think it was a little dinky thing, wasn't it? It's got to be one of these I got a little library here. Let me just see. Early SDA pamphlets. Ceiling. Order the Little Flock Bowl. Y'all got to get that book. Seventh-day Adventist Church took out the first 11 pages. Did you find it? Oh, no, I turned off the fan, but the sketches from the life of Paul, because look, in the stream, I'm going to page 136, right? Let's see this. Yeah, we're on one. So I'm going to page 136, and look at that. I can't read it. Mm-hmm. And then page 137, and I think it's all back to normal. Oh, look. Never mind. Those pages just shouldn't be there, because I'm going, okay, it's good. Never mind. I just noticed the number. So I guess the person fixed it, but they forgot to pull the other PDFs out before doing a final. So let me just backtrack and make sure it is correct. Sir, yeah, okay, so calculated. Okay, so the manifestations of supernatural power which accompanied the apostles' work were calculated. So it is, so we're good. Okay, and it says, were calculated to make a deep impression upon a people given to sorcery and priding themselves upon their intercourse with invisible beings. Now, today's world, you got the sorcery, you know, the pharmakia thing, that's that video I just made. Because the word sorcery in Revelation means pharmakia, and that's where we get our modern-day word pharmacy. And but the sorcery they also did back then, of course, you know, like you got that magic powder sometimes. You like some of the potions and stuff you hear about. Like a lot of video games have these potions in there. That's all sorcery. That's why you know, even if there's no shoot 'em up, bang 'em up in a video game, if it's got sorcery in it, no, dump it, get rid of it, burn it. Don't sell it because you're condoning it. Get rid of it, burn it. You know, we got rid of all the video games decades ago. But the thing is, these magicians today. Now, there's it literally looks like demon magic. But guys like Chris Angel and the other guy that talks real slow and he's kind of like always serious. I can't remember his name. But Chris Angel has been exposed numerous times as a fake. He has his own bought and paid for audience, so you can't count him. He's just, you know, I'm sure he's a regular illusionist, if you will, like some of the guys in Vegas. Never been there, never will be. But there are some guys that do this thing called demon magic where there's no explanation for it and how they get it done. I remember one time I was at a electronics show because I had been hired into this one company. This is directly before I heard the Still Small Voice for the second time, and then, yeah, I left that company. But we're at this electronics show, and as I'm walking around this one area to get to this other area, I guess, they had a small miniature magic show going on in one of these areas. And I didn't stay there to watch it because I was a Christian at the time. I was asking help with the cigarettes, and I was still a Sunday keeper too. And as I walked by, it just I've never seen anything like this before in my life, and I grabbed every angle I could, because as I walked by, I caught it out of the corner of my eye, and I looked. And then as I continue to walk by, I keep looking. And then as I continue to pass, I keep looking. And I didn't see mirrors. I don't know how they did this, but they had this circular device with a big hole in it, like a giant donut made out of some fancy metal with nice colors and stuff. And some girl, like the magician's assistant, was standing behind it, holding it. You could see her hands holding it in the front. You could see her head sitting on the top. You could see her legs underneath. But, yeah, she wasn't there in the middle. And he was putting three things through there. He walked through it. How they did that, I wonder if that was demon magic. I don't know. Well, because some of these things you can explain, you know, but it's amazing. But back in 2,000 years ago with Simon Magus, they no doubt used the, like the potions and whatnot. We've seen, when I was a kid, I remember some Disney flicks too when I was a little kid, where they would, an evil magician or an evil sorcerer would have a little bit of this powder in his hand, and he would just blow it into someone's face, and then, yeah, now you got control, because now they're going to go into you know, hallucinations, and they can manipulate them any point they want. You know, it's kind of like mass hypnosis too, or even neuro-linguistic programming is kind of like a very, very, very gentle version of hypnosis, you know, but you got to get the people in a position to, you know, get them ready for it, kind of like what Dwight Nelson does in the SDA Church, as well as hundreds of other Seventh-day Adventist pastors. I got the list on SDAapostasy.org where they're actually using witchcraft to preach to the people, to keep them in those pews. Hence, another reason it's obvious that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is, in fact, Jesuit-controlled. Jesuits are witches. They're very, very much into the dark arts. Like Daniel said, they'll understand dark sayings. So going on, she says, the miracles of Paul were far more potent than had ever before been witnessed in Ephesus, and were of such a character that they could not be imitated by the skill of the juggler or the enchantments of the sorcerer. You know? And so thus the Lord exalted his servant, even in the estimation of the idolaters, themselves, immeasurably above the most favored and most and powerful of the magicians. Hence the reason Simon Magus stepped up and wanted to be part of the thing, you know, for money. So she goes on, she says, but he to whom all the spirits of evil were subject, and who had given his servants authority over them, was about to bring still greater shame and defeat upon those who despised and profaned his holy name. Sorcery had been prohibited in the Mosaic law on pain of death. And it like, hence one of the reasons the Witch of Endor was a little concerned when she realized it was Saul talking, because there was a death sentence on all witches. And it even spilled over into modern times. If you remember in the 1700s, they were... Now, this is the most ridiculous thing if you think about it, but if somebody even had a dream that you were a witch in your dream, just a dream, if somebody had a dream that you were a witch, they would kill you. That was enough in a court of law. And I wouldn't doubt if it's headed back to that way soon anyway. But it was more or less a way for Satan to test the waters when this nation started, because he needed to get his foot on the ground floor, because he needed to have the control, because this is the second beast of Revelation. America is. And so he started it quickly. I mean, look at the streets. Just do the Google Earth thing. Look down at Washington, D.C. You'll see the pentagrams and all the other symbols. And so sorcery had been prohibited for a minute. But the thing that I think it was so ridiculous was... like the witch trials and stuff, Salem and all that. If someone was accused of being a witch, they would put them on this big pole and dunk them or something, I guess. But here's the kicker. I thought this is so. Now, no one gets busted for murder. Not even the guy that's killing the girl, and not even the judge that sentenced her to death. They all get away with it. And what do I mean? Well, if she's a witch, we're not going to be able to kill her by drowning. You see the idiocy there? She drowns. She dies. Oh, well, okay, then she wasn't a witch. And then that's it. They bury her body. Innocent woman killed. Or man, because they did have warlocks. And so, and that just, it's how silly. It's just like with today, with some of the silliness that goes out. And hence, I'm so glad that they actually put the word sheeple in the dictionary, because there's a lot of them out there now. And it's not an insult, too. It's just the mindset. I mean, just with the chemtrails, the food additives, and then, of course, now the vaccines. Boy, you get enough people. See, that's why people are, some are dying and some are just, you know, like Brother Tony he sent me some pictures that they're going around in these areas and vaccinating people in these, I don't know if it was nursing homes or complex or like government housing or something like that, I don't know. But they're using the military, not National Guard. He even showed the plate. He showed me the plates. They're literal military from certain, installations near them. And so, because he's ex-military, he would know. And so it's just, that's like, and the thing with the permanent fence around the White House, that's police state, martial law stuff. Because Biden knows minimum 80 million people know he stole the election. And so out of those 80 million, he's figured there's got to be some crazies in there, you know. Well, that's what he would call them, but there's got to be some people in there that are going to be so upset that they're going to just storm the White House and take them out, and so, or the Capitol building. So they got it all wrapped up now with barbed wire and everything, and that's a police state. That's what it looks like, and it's permanent. He even left 5,000 National Guardsmen. They had 25,000. Okay, and so... that's what we're looking at right now. But I praise God for it, because it tells me we're getting close. Praise his name. Yeah, I know it's going to get intense, especially when they, you know, the 20. Oh, did you notice what John Kerry did today? I put it on the site, and I put a little blurb, like a little statement afterwards. He said, we got to get this done by 2030. He was so adamant about it. Hey, wait, John, you kind of messed up. You should have said 2027, because that's where the Pope's hanging his horns. I mean, seriously, when you look at that, I shouldn't have said horns, but still, it is pretty good. I mean, it's the first piece of Revelation, so the horns do mean the powers of the, you know, the people in there, you know, the leaders. Like the little horn, that's Satan. Well, no, I'm sorry. The little horn is the Pope, all the popes, actually. But you got that clock, the doomsday clock in New York City, counting down to the fall of 2027 when they're going to enforce. But John Kerry let the cat out of the bag saying, we're okay, yeah, that's just the testing to get us to a point. In other words, like I said in the comment section, or not the comment section, but in all my articles are at on the blog, this 2027 thing is just a stepping stone to 2030. Because that's the prophecy Satan's going for. That's the prophecy. That's the event Satan has been waiting to do since Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. And what do I mean? Well, we all know he wants to be worshipped, right? That's a no-brainer. Everybody knows Satan wants to be worshipped. And he's going to get the overwhelming majority of the people on the planet to worship him, just like he did in Noah's day. But there's a small portion of the people that got away from him in Noah's day. It was Noah and his family, right? Well, he doesn't want that to happen a second time. And so he's going to get them all surrounded. And he's going to, well, before he can get them all surrounded, he has to pass a bill, the death decree. Yeah, I'm talking about the 1 hour with the beast. Kerry let the cat out of the bag. And no, I don't even have time to make a video about it. And I so want to make videos about all this, but I need help. I just don't have time for all this. And so things are probably going to be slowing down on the videos, which kind of ticks me off because of all the work I did on building that rig. But the thing is, with him saying the 2030 thing, it's obvious Satan was speaking through him, because that is where all of this leads to. The 2027 thing, when they enforce the mark with the buy and sell situation, and they're going to use the climate change agenda to do that, we all know that. We've known that for quite a while. And I praise God that when I started reading Ellen White's writings, the confirmation was there. It was like, I don't know, 20 years ago. Not 20. I've only been keeping Sabbath 27. So, I don't know. It's been a while. And so, he saying it the way he did was because that is the main thing that Satan's working for, is to kill every Christian he can so that he will, everybody on this planet will worship him. And then he thinks for some silly reason that means he has defeated Christ. That's the only thing I can come up with. You know, it just makes no sense to me, but you know, he's supposed to be super intelligent, but again, you know, self-deception is a powerful tool even with a fallen angel, I guess. And so he, you know, the 2030 thing is when Plague 6, because, you know, like the 1 hour with the beast, like I'm saying, like from the Book of Esther, if you read my 1 hour with the beast page, you'll understand. And I'm not the only one that chimes in there, too. I let the brothers chime in as well, because there was a big old schism thing going on with the church at the time, and I didn't want everybody to think, oh, it's just all my opinion again. So, no. My brothers, they stepped up and, man, it was locked down. So, but like it was in the Book of Esther, when Haman set up the death decree, he had to pass the bill, like we call it a bill today. You know, he tossed the dice, and that. So the bill was passed, I guess, on the first month, the 13th day of the first month, and then he tosses the dice again, and it just so happens that the date of the law, or the date of the bill's enforcement, was on the 13th day of the 12th month. So they had a whole year, the Jews had a whole year to sit there and worry and whatever, you know, or even get prepared because of what happened with Purim. But the thing is, he got it all, you know, all lined up so that the bill was passed, and then a year later it'll be enforced. Well, same thing is going to happen. The death decree is set forth, and then we see in Sister White's writing, she says, when that happens, the killings stop, because now, if anybody is, any real Christian is killed after that death decree, it means our God is weak. And that's why you see Doug Batchelor and Aiken and everybody else out there saying, oh no, the 1 hour with the beast happens before the plagues fall. That way they can nullify Armageddon and make our God look weak. Like he's, oh, Satan won, he killed a bunch of Christians before. No, that's not what goes down. Even Sister White says it. The killings stop at the minute. And why does it say the killings stop? Well, they're killing people now because they won't wear a mask. Muslims have been killing a Christian every 2 minutes for the last, well, since September 11th, simply because they're Christians. And then in the days ahead, especially when they start enforcing the climate change, if you don't keep Sabbath, you are going to be causing the deaths of everybody on the planet. That's what they're going to, that's the scuttlebutt. That's what's going to go out. Especially because we're out there with a loud cry. The latter rains on us. And we're going out there and we're telling everybody what's going on. And so, boy, are we a threat. And so we have to be literally targeted. Kind of like the SDA Church was in the ninth hour. When they went out and exposed the Pope, the Jesuits were moved in there by Satan to try to shut them up. Not right away, you know, because it was just the truth was too powerful. But praise the Lord that that's going to happen with us. And but in the end, we win, you know, because our God is fighting for us. This is like David running towards Goliath. Yeah, there's no fear there. Our God's fighting for us. Because when a fight like this, we can't even contemplate. I mean, seriously, even if you had a nuclear warhead, they got more. You know what I mean? There's no way you could defeat them. You're out there with your little pea shooter and a guy comes up with a Sherman tank or something. Yeah, it's silly to even arm yourself in a situation like that. You wait on the Lord. I mean, literally, some of us have seen what happens to people that come against God's people before the appointed time and what happens to them. It's not a pretty thing to see. That's why I pray for my enemies. You don't want to be going through that. So, sorry, kind of went off track of a lot there. But she goes on to say here that sorcery had been prohibited in the Mosaic law on pain of death, yet from time to time it had been secretly practiced by the apostate Jews. At the time of Paul's visit to Ephesus, there were in the city certain Jewish exorcists who, seeing the wonders wrought by him, claimed to possess equal power. You know, that reminds me of the exorcists of the Catholic Church. When I was growing up, you know, everybody saw the movie The Exorcist and all that. Supposedly a true story. It does look true when it comes to demonic possession, especially if you see that young girl on YouTube that gets possessed by a demon and she says it's like a little bird. She gets those words out as her eyes are rolling back and all that. That's demon possession. The little bird's even mentioned in prophecy. You know, it's in the in Psalms, or is it Proverbs? One of those two, as well as it's, yeah. It's just a little bird thing. I'd have to go into there. I have it in detail on my Revelation Revealed page. But like the Catholic thing with the exorcisms, it was a money-making scheme. Because if you notice, even in the movie, even though the true story supposedly behind it all was a young boy in Africa, but because there certainly is a lot of demonic activity there, but they had a rich family with a young girl that was being possessed by a demon. And no one put two and two together here. The priest keeps coming over every now and then. Yeah, thanks for a couple of $100. You know, it's just all to make money. How can you prove that? Well, how long did it take for Jesus to cast a demon out? I mean, just even before he starts speaking, the demons got upset. You know, he cast them out in a couple of seconds just by saying the words, get out of here, you know, and or get thee hence. With these priests, no, it takes years and thousands of dollars. How convenient. And so they are going to, you know, gild the lily on their own abilities, if you will. That's what she's getting at here. And they're seeing the wonders wrought by Paul, and they're claiming to possess the same powers. So she goes on, believing that the name of Jesus acted as a charm, they determined to cast out evil spirits by the same means which the apostle had employed. I wonder if she's getting to the Jews, you know, the sons of Sceva. Is that where this is headed? Remember, because they said, we adjure you in the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And the demon said, look, I know Paul, I know Jesus, who are you? And then, of course, he beat him up bad and sent him out of the house naked. And so they had no faith in Jesus. They only had faith in, it was kind of like a, I never looked at it this way. I didn't even realize she said this here. I mean, I have read, me and Fran read this before, but I only read it the one time. So, interesting. Anyway, she goes on, an attempt was made by, oh, there it is, Sceva, right, I should have just gone another sentence. So an attempt was made by seven brothers, the sons of one Sceva, a Jewish priest. Finding a man possessed with a demon, they addressed him. We adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. But the evil spirit answered with scorn, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the one possessed sprang on them with frantic violence and beat and bruised them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. She goes on, the discomfiture, there's a new one. So the discomfiture and humiliation of those who had profaned the name of Jesus soon became known throughout Ephesus by Jews and Gentiles. Unmistakable proof had been given of the sacredness of that name and the peril which they incurred who should invoke it while they had no faith in Christ's divine mission. Terror seized the minds of many, and the work of the gospel was regarded by all with awe and reverence, as it should be. And I wouldn't say like the reverent fear, I would say the reverent fear, because there's two different types of fear out there. The fear that Satan generates in your heart to get you to do things that he wants you to do so as to not be prepared to do what the Lord wants you to do later, okay? Be it whatever it be, it doesn't matter. But then they have reverent fear of God, because of who he is. He's awesome. And there's nothing wrong with that fear. That is reverent fear of God, but it's not that you fear that he would put you in hell. It's just the terribleness of God. And yeah, that's the way the King James puts it, because that word was changed too in modern times. Our God's not terrible. That terrible is like shockingly mighty, if you wanted to define it in the Old Testament way or even the New Testament way. Terrible would mean amazingly powerful, like that. So she goes on, facts which had previously been concealed were now brought to light. In accepting Christianity, some of the brethren had not fully renounced their heathen superstitions. The practice of magic was still, to some extent, continued among them. Convinced of the, now here, see, that's one of the the mercies of our Father. He winks at our times of ignorance, because I remember when I found Christ, I still thought it was okay to smoke and drink, and he was blessing me anyway, because I wasn't ready to give it up, maybe. I don't know. Obviously, he knew me. Well, he definitely knows me. He knows all of us better than we know ourselves. Amen. So going on, she says, convinced of their error by the events which had recently occurred, they came and made a full confession to Paul and publicly acknowledged their secret arts to the deceptive and satanic. Well, praise the Lord. That would have been nice to know. So many sorcerers also abjured the practice of magic and received Christ as their Savior. They brought together... Oh, and by the way, a lot of people have a boo-boo here. Look at how she spells Savior. That's the proper way. I even had a call... what was his name? The guy that made E-Sword. I can't remember the guy's name. Jim something. I think it's Jim something. In the King James Bible, he must have typed it in by hand or something. I don't know. But I says, this is... you got a problem here. And every time the word Savior comes up in the King James Bible on E-Sword, it's spelled S-A-V-I-O-R. That kind of Savior is like a lifeguard or somebody pushes out of the way of a speeding bus, and then they die for you in your place. But if you put the O-U-R in there, he's our Savior. Because the word Savior with the I, with the O-U-R in it, has one definition and one definition only, Jesus Christ. The other one could have many definitions. You take the U out. It has many definitions where, like I said, lifeguard or whatever. So going on, she says, they brought together the costly books containing... Okay, I remember this now. All right. So it isn't scripture, obviously. So they brought together the costly books containing the mysterious Ephesian letters and the secrets of their art and burned them in the presence of all the people. When the books had been consumed, they proceeded to reckon the value of the sacrifice. Yeah, I was just going to say she's going to put the dollar amount here. It was estimated at 50,000 pieces of silver, equal to about $10,000 in her day. Okay, that's in her day, by the way. And she's writing us 1883. So going on, the influence of these events was more widespread than even Paul then realized. So the Lord's hand was on it. Isn't that neat? Because the Lord knew. I was just thinking about this the other day, and I was even going to think of sharing this tomorrow on Q&A, but I thought, no, I shouldn't go there on something like this, because it's my own opinion, and I don't want to do that. I want to give only scripture. But people do ask these questions, and I said, look, the only way I can answer it is by my own opinion, because there's not a scripture to back it up. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord knew these people that were going to go out with the zeal to go forth and cast demons out. Not having any faith in Jesus, not realizing enough where they were standing. spiritually. And so the only way they were going to get to a point that they can realize is some guy is going to beat the daylights out of them and throw them out of the house naked. Then they're going to start to realize, oh, there's a lot more power in this name than we realized. You know, and we have to do it the right way. And that's what brought them to this point. And so praise the Lord. See, it's just like, would you think, okay, he knows the end from the beginning, but could you look at it this way? This is how powerful our God is. I mean, this is, like I say, my opinion. To have them look from, like, say, the days of Adam and Eve all the way up to the day of Plague 7, when it's all said. Well, no, let's go 1,000 years later. No, that doesn't matter, because, yeah, they're already judged. So just Plague 7, all right? They're already judged. It's already a done deal. So he doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, look at the, I'm just thinking of the power of the Creator God that made our brains. You can't fathom his brain, right? I mean, just look up in the heavens, like on a clear night out here in my area where there's no light pollution, hardly. You look up and you see things, all these stars, and you know it's just a postage-sized stamp of the Milky Way that you're looking at in one of its spirals, one of its seven spirals. And that Milky Way galaxy is just one of trillions of them. And in each galaxy are trillions of planets, with trillions of people. You can't even count the exponent. It's an insane amount of people out there, right? And that's not counting, you know, everything from the giraffe to the ant. I mean, you can't even. It's just all these different. He's controlling. He's got control over all that. He guides them all. He protects them all. He's our God. And so he doesn't necessarily have to look at the future. He can look and see, like, right down to the cellular level of our being, if you will. And when you get down to that level, you think, okay, I know how this man's going to react or how this woman's going to react because of the experiences that he or she had since the crib to this, from the crib to this day, and so, and the people in their lives at that point, and how they're created, and how all their little cells are all work together. And you know, he can calculate who, you know, who's going to be there at Plague 6 and who's not, all the way from Adam and Eve's day. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. Because he's so powerful. He's so awesome. He's so he goes beyond any kind of an explanation. Because he's not just, you know, popping out planets. You know, he's doing that, but there's a lot more involved to that. I mean, just look at the inner space. If you've ever done any research, look on YouTube for inner space. You wouldn't believe that's going on inside your body. Forget that. You wouldn't believe what's going on inside of one of your trillions of cells. One of them actually looks like the guy on Keep on Trucking, you know, bumper stickers, legs and all. This thing moves these things as the chromosome splits and walks it down the other end like it's got legs. Our God is an awesome God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so he doesn't need to look into the future. He can see it just by the calculations of how we all interact with each other. That's how strange I think sometimes, but you know, it's just my opinion, like I said. But she goes on to say here, the influence of these events was more widespread than Paul even then realized. The manifestation of the power of Christ was a grand victory for Christianity in the very stronghold of superstition. Yeah, of all places, Ephesus. So from Ephesus, the news was widely circulated in a strong impetus was given to the cause of Christ. I think that means importance. Just by looking at the way it's spelt. But these scenes in the ministry of Paul lived in the memory of men and were the means of converting many to the gospel long after the apostle himself had finished his course. You know, kind of like with Daniel or even Sister White or William Miller. I mean, Martin Luther. It just run them off the list. You know, their work follows them even after death. I mean, if it wasn't for the epistles that Paul wrote, we wouldn't know Christ as deeply as we do, right? Or even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, it's just and just looking at the way, like with just to give you an idea how big of a problem it was, and this is why Paul spoke of it in the way he did. And again, it's in Romans 15. Well, I'm not going to turn on my tablet. Let me just go to my Bible on here real quick. Oh, I had a reboot earlier, so it's going to take a second or two. But if I'm just from memory, I can just say that he was saying more or less, it's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos. Okay, here it is. Let's Okay, no, that's that. I was trying to talk to an atheist. And now, all of a sudden, he's not answering. Keep him in your prayers. I don't know his name, but he's a YouTuber guy. And then some guy calls himself a prophet. And I'm asking, do you keep God's law? And boy, is he evading. He's giving all these twisted Bible verses as an evasion. So maybe I can get with him and help him out, hopefully. Anyway, I can't find it right now. I'm thinking I was in, maybe I was in chapter 5. All they were yet sinners. No, maybe it was 4. No, I'm not going to look at it or look for it. What I'm getting at is the way the people were thinking back then was to, you know, follow Paul and Paul alone, or follow Apollos and Apollos alone. And the way that I was getting it in my mind is the way Paul was responding to this, and he was giving a big, long dissertation in regards to it. And the old English, you really got to dig into it sometimes and figure out, okay, is this what he meant here? And then you go to the verses above and below, and then, yeah, you lock it down. And what I got out of that was the fact that, like, if we were to do that today, we would say, okay, there's 66 books in the Bible, but I see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm only going to read John. You know, I don't need Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And that's what he was getting at. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Paul. It's about all of us that preach this, you know, like all the apostles, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, because he chimed at Jude. You know, he put some stuff in the New Testament, too. So, let me just see where we're at here. Okay, we're nowhere near ending, so. Okay, this would be a good place. Yeah, this right here would be a good spot to pick it up next week, because it literally almost starts a new topic. And so I'm going to end it here. And so if we can, wait, I got to get that. Oh, it's not up. Hold on a second. Let me get this Friday thing up so I can put it in. It's page 138. And it's going to be first paragraph. Oh, let me get it. I can copy that and put it here. For those of you listening on WTPR now, and for those of you listening on WTPR next year when I'm doing this, I apologize. Because, let's see, first paragraph. I just got to do this, otherwise it just won't work right later. I'll forget or something, I don't know. Okay, so we'll pick it up there next week on page 138, right where I highlighted, for those of you on the stream. If you can kneel, we're going to finish in prayer. Ooh. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for blessing us with answered prayer and giving us all that we need to grow in Christ. Thank you so much for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And there's a lot of them, Father. We got loved ones that we are extremely concerned about. But thank you for the seeds that have been planted in them and in us, and giving it ample increase for those that water it, as well as even if we have a chance to water it ourselves. And thank you for forgiving us, blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy, because we want to go forth and do this work for you. And so thank you for helping us to overcome even the little areas, because we don't want Satan to even have a toehold, let alone a foothold. And so thank you again, Father, for blessing us the way you have, and blessing everyone that's part of this church family. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, our Lord and our Savior and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.